Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, I hope I'm on the line now. Been a long time since I've been on this thing, it seemed like, but I always like to play a song first as my opening night again, and the title of my message, If I Do Preach, I'm just going to talk a little bit tonight. I'm testing this out on my cell phone, don't know how it's going to be or anything. It's the first time I use cell phones, and so I got another phone I got to try to get hooked up by tomorrow. I'm going to try to come back on here, and I do, I can see people on here, I don't know who it is. But I can talk to you if I want to. I'm not going to do that tonight, I don't think. I might do it in a little while if I run out of something to say. I usually preach 2 hours, but I don't know about it tonight. I'm not prepared for that, but unless the Lord just moves in on me. And but if you're listening tonight, if somebody on here tonight has got a 512 area code number, don't hang up, okay? I ain't gonna click on that and have you talk, or I ain't gonna scare you right now, but I could do that. If you're on my Facebook, send me a message and let me know if this thing's going out good or not, or if you can hear me or what. It'd be a blessing just to shoot me a quick message on Messenger. Anyways, I'm Brother Wally Langford. I feel like I'm an unworthy servant of God tonight, but I thank God that he saved me a long time ago, amen. I praise him tonight for that. I have no idea what God would call me and use me in the way he has. And I'm not anything, and I know that. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. And I praise him and I love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I thank God that he loves me. I thank God for mercy and kindness. I thank God for forgiveness. I just thank God that he came to me on May 25th, 1984, sitting in an old stinking prison cell. I got set up for where I went, but I thank God I had to go. Amen. That was my stopping point. It made me look up, and I'm grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am so grateful to him, for him blessing me like he has. And my message, if you want to call it that, is, you know, we always title it. I didn't used to title my message, but since we're on the radio or I'm coming back on here, I preached on this thing for a long time. Brother Brandon T. comes on Sunday mornings at 11:30. He's out there. He preaches from Bogota, Texas. And he's a fine preacher. I love Brother Brandon, and this is his broadcast that he lets me come on Thursday nights. So, but anyways, I hope my phone does good tonight. I've got to flip back here and check and see what's going on here. I'm hearing Bing, but I don't see nobody answering me on Messenger, so I don't know what's going on. But it's okay. I'm going to do the best I can and hope and pray this thing is going out. But I'm Wally Langford, and this is just a test for the next 60 years of your life. Amen. I mean, I thought about that, and I'm going to play a song. And I usually run my other phone so I can tell if I'm on or not. And somebody's still on here, and I praise God that you are. I hope you can hear me. Apparently, you must be able to hear me because you're still on here. And so, anyways, I thank God for that. And I'm going to play the song, and I'll be right back.
Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. The disciples came to Jesus. They said, how will we know
when the Son of Man will come again. Jesus told them the sign, and some of them are happening now. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Hear this. Men are lovers themselves, proud and boasters too, covetous, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents too, unthankful, unholy, and this is the reason why I can see the end of time is drawing nigh. Can you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Men are lovers, a pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. And I know the end of time is drawing nigh.
I'm wondering if the Lord wants me on here, if you don't want me on here. And the only reason I say that is because I think it's the devil tonight, man, myself, because, man, I got light bulbs going out. I got, man, things trying to get on this radio and things like that. It seemed like every other time I used to come around on these things, man, I never had no troubles. And I wondered about that, you know, because the devil never fought me. And then all of a sudden, here I am, man, he's fighting me, you know. And so, anyways, I'm going to do the best I can. I've been praying. I was not going to come on tonight. And I was going to try to wait until next week because of my other phone. And I don't know how it sounds on this one, but everybody's saying it's okay. So I praise God for that. Thank you, Miss Donna, for letting me know. My dear friend, Miss Donna. She's been my friend a long time. I know her mom and daddy, they were good Christian people. And I love them both, and they love me. And I praise God for them, I really do. They really love preaching. And I'm not anything, I'm not bragging on me at all. But they sure like to hear me preach. And I'll tell you what, they're good people. They treated me with high respects, and I praise God for that. And I did the same for them. But I tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. That's all I can say, you know, really, because, man, I weep a lot. I've wept a lot in the last 8, 10 years of my life, and I preached a lot across this country, been to jail a lot in this country. I'm just going to share a few things with people. If someone does tune in, just happen to be on the internet somewhere that God wants them to hear something, I'm just going to be obedient to God. That's the way I've always done it, even though I'm struggling tonight because it's been a while, and I'm really not sure which way to go. And Brother Brandon Teague knows me very well, and I just go with it. Whatever the Lord gives to me, I'm gonna preach. But really, I had thought about something today that when I got on here, because like I said, I don't feel worthy. I feel very unworthy. I don't deserve the blessings that God gives to me. This way I feel, and I can't help that. But I praise God that He has blessed me. He has blessed me abundantly, and He has been so good to me. And the biggest part is that one day I know I'm going to get to go to heaven because I repented of my sins, and I believe what Jesus said. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He was God in the flesh. I believe He died, went to the grave, was in there 3 days. I believe He rose again just like He said He would. Amen. I believe He's coming back for me and the other people out here in this world that are born again. I know He's coming back for a preacher friend of mine out there in Pakistan and his family and the church out there and wherever you are out here in this world today. God is going to come back and take us out of here one day, and I praise God for that. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. I don't like being on this earth no more. I'm just being honest with you. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that's where I stand today. Amen. I'm only 58 years young. I'm getting older. But I tell you what, I am looking forward, amen, to seeing Jesus, though I know when I stand before God, or I feel I will. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be when I get into heaven. Okay? I really don't know how it's going to be when I get into heaven. I read in the book of Revelation of somewhat what heaven looks like and going to be, but it's that we don't know the full picture. I believe that we're going to see things that we never, ever thought of. We come up with all these scenarios. We come up with all these ideas, and we come up with so many things, and yet we are going to be totally blown away when we walk into heaven, amen? And I thank God that it's going to be that way, but I'm looking forward to it, even though I'm looking forward. Listen, I know I'm here. I'm like Paul. Amen. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And while I'm down here, though I struggle, I stumble, I fall, I get up. The righteous man falls 7 times and he gets up. We keep getting up. We don't lay down. We don't stay in the mud grub. We don't stay in the pits of sin. We don't stay in all the garbage, man. We get up. If we fall, we get back up because there's something inside of us. Amen. And I believe it's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. It comes inside of us when we get saved, and when He does, praise God, amen, He does something to us. I can't even explain what happened to me the day that I got saved. All I know is my life changed, and I felt something inside me, amen, like the burdens of every sin that I ever committed in my life. Jesus Christ came, and man, I'll tell you what, He took them off of me. And it felt like a big old diesel truck, amen, that was lifted off of me, and my life changed, and it just happened in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's how Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. He's going to come back in a time when we least expect it. Amen. And I got my own thoughts on things, and hopefully, Lord willing, I'm going to start bringing things out that what I've read, what I've studied, and what I know that the Holy Spirit of God showed me was the way I have been taught, or I heard a lot of things growing up in certain churches and stuff, that it's just not there. Amen. And because I've studied this book, and there's certain things that I've been taught that just they're just not in there. But I believe that Jesus Christ will come back. I believe He will take me out of here. I believe that I will go to heaven. Amen. I believe that He washed me whiter than snow. I believe that my past, my present, my future sins are forgiven because Christ said they would be. And I praise Him for it. Amen. I thank God for it. But I tell you what, I still feel undeserving. I don't deserve Christ dying on a cross for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. Where we deserve deserve, every one of us on this earth deserve hell. Now, I don't understand it. Why? Because of Adam and Eve, of their sin, that we had to be born. I didn't have to be born in this world. I didn't have to be put on this ungodly, God-forsaken earth, but yet I'm here. And then I'm told that because of their sin, we all sin. Well, I don't really like that, to be honest with you. But the Bible teaches me that I was born into sin, and yet as a young person or even as a baby growing up, I learned a lot of things that I did not have inside me. You understand what I'm saying, I hope? Amen. I learned how to do wrong by watching people as a child growing up and say, well, they're doing it, so I'm going to do it. Because you can go back and look in the Old Testament and you can read, I think it's in Genesis, there's a couple of people in there, it says they did not sin. And that's where I make a lot of people, they don't want to listen to me because they think I'm teaching heresy or whatever. I don't care what they think. I will try to go back and look at this. I didn't know. I'm telling you, man, I've asked God to help me because I wasn't going to be on here. And I've asked him to give me the things I need to say and the things that I'm going to say that I've got to say. Amen. And again, I don't deserve to say anything. And I'm not up here pointing my finger at anybody because we've all sinned. That's where I have learned, especially in these last 8 years of my life, that about mercy and kindness and love, amen, and respect and everything that goes on in our lives. I understand today more than I ever have in my whole life about, especially when you got to stand somewhere and preach, how tough it is, because knowing, I don't understand that either. I'm going to share this with you. I know I'm running rabbit, so I'm going to. I got to get all the cobwebs out of the way so I can get where I need to be going, whether this week or next week, get back on that path again, okay? Yeah, but I don't understand why God would call any of us. I'm telling you, every one of you preacher guys that I know, if you listen to me tonight or if you listen to me sometimes, I don't know why God would call you or me into the ministry to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we are no better than anybody sitting inside the church house on the pew. With so many preachers today and pastors today, you got a pride problem thinking you're better than your people, and you're not. God put you down here as a servant. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came down, and he said, I didn't come to be served. He said, I came to serve. And he said, that's the example that we're supposed to live by. There's a whole lot of preachers, man, got themselves puffed up, and they got these pictures looking like they big, some big bad daddy preaching the gospel. Listen, every one of us deserve hell. Amen. And that's why I don't understand why God would call some to the ministry and say, I want you to preach for me, knowing perfectly well that he's God, and that he says, I want you to preach, even though I know you just might fall. Even though I know you might make mistakes. Even though I know that you're no better than anybody else. And that's where I'm at today. I praise God. I've never thought myself any better than anybody else because I remember where God found me. God found me in a cesspool of sin. God found me in a place in my life that I was sick of wallowing. I was sick of my sins. I was sick of doing wrong. I was sick of living the life that I lived. I was sick of it. And Jesus came to me, and he spoke to my heart, and he told me that I needed to get born again. But God didn't save me right away. He let me, I'm telling you. Listen, everybody in your life, you got a different testimony than I do. Okay? I thank God you have a testimony for yourself, and you ought to, be able to share it with people, say, hey, look, I want to tell you something. This is where God found me, and
Lord, and there ain't a thing you can do about it, but I was no better than you were. Your children, your husband, your wife, amen, we're no better than the next one. We've all sinned. We've all come short. We all fall short. We don't even touch the hem of Christ's garment of how short we are. And I mean how short it is, how far we are. That's how we fall short. And yet God uses people. And I thank God, I'm serious. Miss Donna's touched my heart on the things that she's been telling me, because I have tried to go off just for me, because I did not feel like I needed to be there. Okay? But I've never figured out, and I'll never figure it out. God ain't going to tell me when I get to heaven, because it ain't going to matter. We know we talk about a lot of things. We say, well, I'm going to say that. I'm going to talk to God about this, this, and this. You know, I believe when we get there, it ain't going to make a hill of beans. It won't matter no more. It won't matter why you went through the hell you did down here. It won't matter why everything that seemed like come against you. It won't matter when we get there, praise God. It's going to be gone. There's no misery in heaven. There's no problems in heaven. There's no sin. And praise God, the devil can't get there. Hallelujah. I don't know if I get too loud on this phone here. I don't know how it does. But I know with my other phone, I have to put it in my kitchen. And it's a fantastic phone. It picks up, man, real good. I'm on my cell phone, so if I'm too loud and it blurs out, I'm sorry. I didn't expect this tonight, but God blessed me with the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm telling you, God is such a merciful God. See, God, listen, we'll go back to Noah's day. I got a son named Noah, and I love him to death. Praying for him. Got a daughter named Courtney. Granddaughter, Azriel. Love her to death, too. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Miss Donna. And so we'll go back to Noah's day. This is how merciful God is. God, and you know, You've heard people question, well, how come God's allowing this, or how come God's allowing that? How come this happens, or how come that happens? You know, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people, okay? I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, but I believe there's still good people on this earth. And I'm talking about God's people especially. Why? I don't know. I can't answer that for you, and I'm not going to try to answer that. Because I, in my own life, I said, God. You know, but God, over the years, so many years, how you know? I want you to get a picture of this, okay? I want you to really see the mercy of God. I want you to see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ on how much mercy that he's really having with the world. See, the problem is this. The world don't believe the Bible. The church people are getting so comfortable in their living. They don't believe that God is really coming back. And he told us to be careful. In Luke 21, I believe it is, that you be not caught up in this world, in the cares of this world, and surviving and drunkenness, and the cares of this life. He's talking to the church, I'm telling you. A lot of people think we're going to be raptured out of here before that. But I'm telling you that God is speaking to the church in Luke 21, and he's telling us to be careful. Because he's going to come back in a day when we least expect it. He's coming back in a day, and then when he comes, he's coming as a thief in the night. And I'm telling you this. You better be prepared. You better get your eyes back on God. You better get your heart out of sin. You better get that love put down. You better get everything else out of the blood. Because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming. And he ain't coming back. You're not going to crucify him again. No, you're not. He's coming back as a lion. You understand me? The Bible says he's coming back as a roaring lion. He's not coming back and going to sit there and let you people push him around. He's not going to sit there and let you beat on him, smack him around, pull his beard up. He will not allow that. You understand me? He's the King of Kings, amen. He's the Lord of Lords. Ooh, glory to God, sweet Jesus. I don't deserve it. But I'll tell you this. Now I get back to God's mercy. Like I said, this is just a test. Amen. Just a test. Amen. It's just a test for the next 60 years of your life. Amen. You know, and I said that. And I say that. I'm not joking about it. But I don't know. I don't know how old y'all are. Okay. I don't know how old you are, but I know how old I am. And I remember as a boy, 7, 8 years old, we would watch television. And at the end of at midnight, they always played this thing. Whatever that thing was, it looked like a speaker, some kind of speaker, and it would go boop, then or go boop, boop, boop. For the next 60 seconds, this is only a test. This is only a test. Then they play Elvis at the end of it, when I was growing up anyways. Amen? I used to sit there and cry. I knew God when I was a little boy, man. God had his hand on me when I was a little boy, and I already know it. Amen. I know it did. Listen, if I get cut off or anything like that, it won't let me get back on here. So I'm going to throw that out real quick. Amen. But anyways, if I do, I'll get back, Lord willing, next week. I don't know what my phone's doing. I just saw something, some kind of glitch. So if I do happen to get off, then I thank you for listening tonight. But anyways, everybody's listening, amen, by internet next time, or it will record, and they will play it. I'll post it on my Facebook again. But listen, I'll get back to where I'm going. This is just a test. I really prayed. I did, man, because I was scared. I was scared to death to come back on here. Everything I've been through, man, I tell you what, I'm telling you, man, I've had it hard. And I know there's others out there that have had it harder than me. I've sat here many times over the last 8 years, many times. I'm telling you, I've stayed on the radio for a very long time. I think I've only been off maybe a year now. I don't know if it's been that long, but I believe it's about a year. But you know what? I would listen to people, man. I watch testimonies. I read all these things. I never used to care about too much reading. Amen. Watching things, see what's going on in the country and across the world. But here lately, the last 2 or 3 years of my life, I have. And I've absorbed myself in these things, and I got to looking at the Christians in these other countries, and we sit over here because we can't get a cheeseburger, and you're standing in line, and you throw a fit as a Christian because you can't get your little hamburger the way you want, and there's people over in Pakistan in these other countries, Muslims getting saved, and other people getting saved, Buddhists getting saved, and they get saved, and they live for God. And they lose their head for Jesus Christ. And we whine over here because we can't get a little McDonald's hamburger and a french fries. And we're so miserable. And yet then you look at these people over there. I got a friend over there. I call him my friend. I've never met him. But he's in Pakistan. And that man goes out witnesses to those Muslims. And every day he stands a chance of his head being cut off. Every day. But he's, from what I know, I'm just trusting him by what he said and by what I've seen. He's over there witnessing for Jesus Christ. And yet we can't even witness here. And we got freedom, man. Ain't nobody going to walk up to you right now. I believe it's coming. I really believe it's coming. There's bad things starting to happen a lot more in America, and I've said that for years. I said that over 20-some years ago, how bad it's going to get. It's there, honey. I'm telling you, it's there. We are there, but it's going to get worse. They're going to cut our heads off one day in this country. I'm telling you, it's coming. It cannot pass us. There's too many people over in these other countries. Christian people are praying that God will send persecution on America to show them the true law of God. The church did not flourish until they were persecuted. You read the book of Acts. You go study the book of Acts. I believe we're going right back to the book of Acts. you know what they did? They turned and run. Oh, my God. No, they didn't. The Bible said in the book of Acts, they, when they saw Paul in his bonds, the Bible says that they, listen to me, it gave them more boldness. That's when the church started growing. That's when the church really started flourishing. That's when it wasn't because of speaking in tongues. It wasn't because of bouncing off the wall. It wasn't because we're getting rich. It wasn't because of any of that. When the church started flourishing, and that is not where God wants the church today. God wants us to be on his path. Preaching, proclaiming, witnessing, telling others, get ready, for the time is coming, because we're going into dark times. We are fixing to step into the darkest times of our lives, and people are not ready. The church is not ready. The church is caught up in sobriety in cares of this life. They're caught up in it. They're caught up in the world. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be there myself. I don't want to be caught in sin. I don't want sin on my brain. I don't want sin in my life. I don't want sin around me. I don't want, I want to be, before I die, I hope and pray that I will be this light like Paul was, knowing perfectly well that one day, somebody might, before I die, God, I'm not going to say God forbid, because I'm looking forward to it, but someone might come to me in this country and say, look, you either deny Jesus or you're looking ahead. And I'm going to say, by God's grace, I thought about it. I have thought about John the Baptist so many times, man. Oh, John the Baptist was there. They hated old John. Oh, my God, they hated John. The king hated John. The king's wife hated John. Because he told him it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife. Amen. Your brother Philip's wife. You're wrong, king. They hated John so bad. But you know what I believe? I can't prove this, but this is for me because I enjoy it. I feel the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. But I tell you what I believe. I believe when they came for old John, that holy angel was talking to him. Just like Paul. Paul knew he run his race. Paul knew his life was over. Paul was told by God that he was fixing to die. And I believe old John the Baptist knew he was fixing to die too for Jesus. I believe the holy angels came to him and said, John, your time's up, big boy. Give it one more time, my brother. Oh, good God Almighty. I'll tell you, old John was there. Glory to God. He was standing there. And I believe John gave it one more time. I don't believe John stood up. I believe John, when they got ready to cut the old boy's head off, he got dead. And you people that follow this king, repent for that kingdom of heaven in that hand, Lord. You understand that? I'm thinking that God is a God, but you guys, if you don't repent, you are going to go to hell for my words on this day. When you cut my head off, man, my head rolls in that basket. I'm going home, buddy. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God, sweet Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. I believe old Paul was doing the same thing. I believe every saint of God, amen, they know somehow, even though we struggle, we battle, we whine, we cry, we complain, we suck in our miseries. Because we won't turn it all over to God right away, but when we do, I'll tell you what, it's a blessing when the Holy Ghost of God will come upon you, and he blesses you, and he washes you, and he cleanses your old wicked heart. I need this tonight. I need this real bad tonight. I thank God for what he's doing, amen. I just thank the Lord God in heaven, amen, for blessing me. But I'll tell you what, I ain't lost my place, thank God. God ain't let me lose my place tonight. This is just a test. For the next 60 years of your life, you understand me, young people, You understand me, you people out there that are 25, 35, 40 years old, you better count your blessings if God lets you live. Amen. If God lets you live, the next 60 years of your life is going to be a test. I'm talking about the saints of God. The lost people don't care. The lost people can live or die. They don't give a rat's flip, man. They just don't care. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to live the way they want to live. But you know what? There are some out there. There really are some people out there, amen. There really are some people out there that are looking. They are really looking for truth. And I believe they see it, and they're lost, but they see. Amen. And I want to be this great light. I want to be a light for my Lord. I don't want to be a failure. I want anybody to be able to put their finger on me and say, boy, who does this? How can you tell me? That's what I'm saying. I don't understand God at all, man, how God can take any of us, especially a man like me, live such a wicked life, turn around and call me to preach and still feel like I'm not worthy. And yet in my heart and in my mind and when I'm pointing my finger, I'm always knowing, hey, man, I ain't being ugly to anybody out there tonight. I'm praying for you. I'm telling you, man, somebody prayed for me. Somebody had to pray for me. Somebody had to have me on their mind, amen, because I got saved, amen. I got saved. I lived a wicked life. I lived a sinful life. I've been in all that garbage that you're in tonight, amen. I still stumble and fall sometimes, but I believe my God's going to get me back, amen, where I need to be, amen. God set me free tonight, and I praise his holy name. I praise him. I praise him. I'm not in this thing for arguments. I'm not going to argue with any of you preachers, amen. I am not going to do it, amen. If you're going to write me and want to argue with me, take me off your Facebook. I don't need you. I don't need you. I got God. Hallelujah. I got the truth. I got the Bible. I don't need any of you preachers. You are God. You're a servant. A servant. And get off your plow horse, honey. Because I'll tell you what, God's going to bring you down off that horse. Ooh. I'm trying to be easy tonight. I really am. I'm trying to be easy tonight. Praise God. But I tell you this. I ain't forgot. And I'm going to show you another mercy of God. We'll go all the way back to the days of Noah. And people said, how come God ain't long-suffering? I said, my God, how long has he got to be long-suffering? Think about it. Okay, here's Adam and Eve. They sinned, and all the sin, all the Bible says that the sins of Adam and Eve, amen, of all that time that Adam and Eve were alive on this earth, man, and here comes Noah and them along, and now all that whole time that God said this, okay, it's not man, but God said in the books of the Old Testament, from Genesis on up, God talked about when he come up to the days of Noah. Okay, he said man is sinful. Everything in man's mind and everything in man's heart is wicked. Nobody was looking for God. Nobody. Nobody to the day of Noah was not looking for God. You hear me? When the days of Noah came, when God came to Noah and his family, seven people got on that ark. Seven people. The rest of them, when God told them, God warned them, said, look, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to, and God came to Noah and talked to him, man. God spoke to him and said, this is what I want you to do. Noah, you don't understand about rain and water, but other than what you've seen in the river, but I want you to know something, Noah. I'm fixing to bring a flood on this earth because man's heart is putrefied. Man's heart is wicked. Everything about that sauce is nasty, wicked, ungodly, and they don't have me on their mind anymore. Watch it now. Do you hear what I'm saying? You better watch it now. They didn't have God on their mind anymore. I'm telling you, from Adam, and I don't know where it stopped, but from Adam and Eve, they talked about God. They raised their children for God. Said Cain slew Abel. He was a murderer from the beginning. That sounds like Satan. But here it comes. God telling Noah he wanted to build an ark because man was sinful. And God said, you know, this is what he said. He came, he said he was smelling the stench. You understand me? The stench, that nasty smell of sin was coming up into the nose of God. God got sick of it. So he said, Noah, you're going to build an ark, boy. Yeah, you are. And this is what you're going to do. This is how I want you to build it. And this is what you're going to do. And when the time of the rains are going to come and the floods are going to come, I'm going to lock you in there, boy. And ain't nothing going to hurt you and your family. You understand me? Nothing going to get you and your family. Okay, so Noah built the ark and all them people. How long did God give them? How long did God give those all those folks that were still alive during the time of Noah? You know what? This is amazing, too. I know God has given this to me tonight. So many wonderful things running through my head. But you know what? You know, they didn't have telephones. They did not have telephones in Noah's day. But you know what? The word sure got around real fast. You understand me? The word got around real fast. And I can prove that. I have some preacher friends of mine that preach over in Africa. Okay? Now, they don't have phones over there either. But you know what? The brothers over there, because they go preaching over there, they start at one mountain. And you know what? Before they get to the other mountain, there's thousands of people coming out of the jungles to hear the preaching. Yeah, that's right. That's a fact, man. That is a fact. No phones. But there are thousands of people. You hear me? In the days of Noah, there were thousands of people that heard about Noah, how crazy he was. Here's this man with seven people in his family, him and his wife and his children and son-in-law in his family. And they heard all over everywhere that there's this nut building this big old boat. And all he's talking about is God said, get ready. I believe Noah was that day saying, look, you can get on this ark. You hear me? You can be saved on this ark. Boom. He kept hammering. And he stopped a little bit. He said, hey, God's fixing to rain down and destroy every one of you. But you can get on his ark and be saved. Oh, shut up, Noah. You done gone crazy, boy. Something wrong with you, Noah. Noah just kept hammering. Noah put that ark together just like God told him to. Noah got the animals and all the, amen, the bugs and pests and whatever they are now today, man, the snakes and everything. Noah got them together. And all that whole time, thousands of millions of people had heard that Noah had built the ark. And you know what? Then here comes God. And that was 120 years that God showed mercy and kindness. God gave them people 120 years to get right. God gave them people 120 years to get on that ark. God gave them his man, Noah, building the ark, preaching to those people. Telling them what this was, what God was going to do for 120 years. And they rejected him. There's the mercy of God. There's the kindness and the love of God Almighty. Now, here's the judgment. Here comes the judgment. Because why? Because they rejected Noah's God. They rejected the God that called on Noah. They rejected the God that said, hey, you better get ready. You better get right. Get on this boat. Because I'm coming tonight. You hear what I'm saying? 120 years. And God let it rain. God poured down. Hallelujah. God poured it down on these people. And it washed up from the earth. That's what it says in that Bible. And you know what happened? Oh, I'm sure there were some starting to get frightened. Some were starting to get scared. Maybe even someone started banging on that ark and saying, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe Noah wasn't as crazy as we thought he was. The waters kept going. Rain kept pouring down. More water gushed up out of the ground. Oh, my God, man, here them people out there floating as long as they could, and they couldn't hold on no more. All the trees were gone. There was nothing to hang on to. And guess what? Every one of those folks died and went to hell. Isn't that terrible? Brother Wally, how can you say all of them did? Well, the Bible said there were seven righteous people on that ark. Seven righteous. Don't you think that God, if they were righteous people, don't you think they would have heard God through Noah telling them, hey, judgment's coming. Better get your life in order. You better get your home in order. I used to hear that as a young boy, man, these preachers. Better get your home in order. Better get your life in order. Judgment's coming. And guess what? That's why I believe every one of those people that died in the flood went to hell. Not one of them got to go to heaven. They had a chance. They had 120 years. The mercy and love and kindness of God. Now, from Noah's day, after the ark settled, and Noah and his family, they started replenishing the earth. From Noah's day until now, how many years has that been? How many years of kindness and mercy has God showed not just to America, but the whole world? How many years has God been out there preaching? He said, I sent my prophets early preaching to you. And God sent his prophets, then God sent his evangelists, and God sent, amen, listen to me, my God, his apostles, his pastors, his teachers, his prophets. He sent them, and he's still sending them. How many years do you think it's going to take for you to repent of your sins? Oh, my goodness, how long you been here? You've been here, what, 90 years? How about you 20-year-old people out there? How long do you think God's going to let you live? Listen to me. Oh, I praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do tonight, God. Thank you for your spirit, God. I'm scared to death, Lord, but I praise you for what you're doing. Lord, I love you. I'm going to tell you 20-year-old people something. I'm not too good on dates sometimes, numbers and stuff, but well, I'm good with numbers, but as far as remembering things, I have a brother that died back 15, 20 years ago. He wasn't that old. He might have been almost 40 years old. I just lost a brother not long ago, maybe 8 years ago. I don't remember. Something like that, not maybe longer than that. It's been longer than that because, amen, it was before all my health started 8 years ago. He was 32 years old, I think. I might be wrong on that. I have to look. I always say that. Maybe somewhere around 32 years old. And you know what? I preached my brother's funeral. Both of them. My brother Michael and my brother Larry. Might sound crazy, but, man, you're talking about the power of God that come down in a place. And it was a funeral. I'm telling you, 200 or 300 people there, one of them. I'm not nothing. But the point I'm making to you 20-year-olds or you 30-year-olds, my brother was 30-something, 32. I say 32. He might have been younger, might have been older, a little bit older. I went and looked at that boy's car, man. There was no reason for that boy to be dead at all. No reason at all. It only hit the back corner of that panel, the quarter panel on the back right side of that vehicle he was driving. And a little bitty, like a S10 pickup that hit him in the quarter panel. But his neck broke. You know what? I love my brothers. They both profess to be saved, know Jesus. He was on his way home, Larry was, on his way home to go see his wife and his son. He never made it. I didn't understand that at all. But you know what? That just reassured to me. We all have an appointed time to die. Nobody knows when they're going to die. I could die right now. Tonight might be my last time. Maybe that's why I'm preaching so fire. I don't know. I'm not afraid of it. I'm saved. But my brother died at a very young age, so that don't mean nothing. You understand me? There's people in the grave that died when they were born. There's people in the grave that were 7, 8 years old. I don't make light of any of that. It don't feel good. My mama died about 5 years ago, maybe, something like that. My aunt, one of my great aunts that I love dearly. I lost a preacher friend of mine within the last 5, 6 years. My family, amen, gone in the last 8 years, and my heart's been ripped out dearly. But you know what? I'm ready to meet God. See, all this stuff I thought about, I said, this is just a test. For the next 60 years of my life, I've had a test. Every day of my life, I've been tested. It's just a test. This will all be over one day, and it will be worth it all. One day, though we don't understand why we feel like we suffer and we cry and we call out to God and we beg God and we ask God all these questions, and it don't seem like we get too many answers sometimes. I never charge God foolishly. I love God, and I know He's God. I've heard all the scriptures where all things work together for the good to those who love Christ, you know, and yeah. You know what? I've seen a lot of preachers, man, come against people like me that, you know, oh, man, I've heard him even say, man, if you're ready, brother, if you're ready to go, man, he's saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, you backslid on God. I said, my God, man, it's recorded in the Bible. John said it. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's recorded in the Bible. The saints of God were talking to God and said, Lord, how long are you going to let this wickedness go on? How long is it going to be before you revenge our blood on them? I'm just preaching. Is that okay? I'm just preaching. How long, God? How long, oh Lord? How long? The next 60 years of your life, Wally, is just a test. One day, it's going to be over. But how long, America? How long, world? How long, China? How long, Japan? How long, Korea? Africa? The Fiji Island? How long are you people going to keep going until you look up and repent of your sins? Because you can't stand before God, because I'm telling you, this is what I believe, okay? I'm going to throw this out there too, okay? This is what I believe. See, God don't need me over in Africa because he got his brothers over there. You understand me? You understand what I'm saying? Amen. I was put here in America. God put me as a watchman on the fence. I've been hollering and crying out in the wilderness for 33 years. God came to me just like he did Paul. He came to me, and he came to Paul, and he came to my black brother out there in Africa in the middle of the swamp and talked to him just like he did Paul. I don't care if you Baptists believe it or not. I don't need that garbage. I know my God. God can do anything. If God can use an ass, I ain't saying dunk it. He said he used a dumbass to speak to the prophet. You understand what I'm saying? If God can make a dumbass speak, I'm telling you, God can go dumb in the middle of a swamp because he's God. He don't need your permission, and he don't need you. God, you can't do that, God. God don't speak to people anymore. Well, I think it's different with you. The Bible says before Jesus Christ comes back, everybody will have heard the word. Everybody. How everybody. Well, that's probably by television. No, they don't have television down there in the swamp of Africa. They don't have television down there in the swamps. Way down there in the bayous of Louisiana. God is going to speak to everybody. And everybody will have heard this way here. And God, and I'm telling you, listen to me. God has showed his grace, and he's still showing his grace. You know, even during the tribulation period, the great tribulation period, you know, you guys don't believe this, but the Bible says that God gave them space to repent. Why would he do that? Because he's a merciful God. And he don't need you preachers out there telling him he can't do that, he won't do that, he's not going to do it. God says, yes, I'm going to, because I'm God. And during the great tribulation, God will give them space to repent. Why? Because he's a merciful God. Because he still loves those people. He loved me in my wickedness. And he loved you in your wickedness. I don't care if you were raised in a Christian home. You still were a wicked person. What? I've been a Christian all my life. Did you repent? Did you believe the God? If you did, you ain't. If your life never changed, you're not born again. You understand me? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Woo! I became you brand new. I like what John Jasper said, old black preacher. He used to hold one foot up in the air, up behind him, hold his pants leg for some reason, preach on one foot. He said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. You understand me, what I'm telling you? If you is what you was, then you ain't. If you still what you was, you ain't got Jesus. I'm not talking about folks that are saved and they stumble, they might sin, they might do something wrong, and they get back and they repent of it. God washes them, God forgives them, and they get up and they go back to plow that field. Oh, we all got to feel the plow. And I hope to God, I mean this, y'all pray for me. I'm going to do my best to start. I'm going to sit down. There's a message that I've wanted to preach for so many years, and it's called The Last Road to Hoe. And I hope to God I get to preach it. There's only going to be one more road to hoe, and it's over. Listen, Jesus showed mercy and kindness to this world. He don't have to keep doing this. He don't. He's God. He stopped every one of us right now. Every one of us could be over. It could be over now. But he's showing mercy and kindness. If he lets you live another day, in a lost state in your life, you've never been born again, God has showed you mercy. If God lets me live another day, then he has showed me he's not done with me yet. But I am so looking forward to seeing my Jesus, and I want to get on my face before him and tell him again, like I told him so many times, Lord, I am so sorry for the way I've been sometimes. I'm so sorry, God, for my sins. I'm so sorry, God, that I failed you so many times. God, I'm so sorry. You know what I believe Jesus is going to do? I see him reaching down there and pull me up. He said, son, I forgave. I put all those sins, whatever they are, man, remember. Now, remember this. I nailed them all to the tree. You hear me? When he said, it is finished, Jesus died for every one of my sins. His blood covers my sins. It don't give me a license to sin, but my sins are forgiven. All my sins, past, present, and future sins are gone. I don't want to live in sin, though I've sinned. I don't want to do wrong, though I have. I'm like Paul. Those things I don't want to do, I do. And those things I know I need to do, I don't do. I know how that feels, and every time I question certain scriptures, God seems to let me go through some things, amen. He don't put sin before us, but he says, okay, I want you to see. You want to know what that means? Yeah, I'll put you through it. I don't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like it. I told God, I said, I don't like this guy. I don't like this test. I hate this test. I know. It's just a test. What are you going to do with the test in your life? What do you feel like God's testing you with? You know what I've learned in the last couple of days? I got a lot of friends out there that really love me. And I praise God for every one of them. But you know what? The encouragement. Because I never dreamed I'd be here where I'm at today, the way I feel sometimes. Really. I'm not bragging on me. I've been a strong preacher. I've looked the devil in the eyes. I've been to jail, man. I've been standing toe-to-toe with God haters out there, atheists, sodomites, all these people out there on the streets, man. I've stood toe-to-toe with them and preached to them. Never backed down one time. I still don't back down. There's been little things in my life, amen, that come along, and loneliness and fear sometimes, and I got through all that. But it was a test. Would I throw up my hands and just stop and totally walk away from God? You know what? Years ago, in 1984, May 25th, 1984, a couple months after I was saved, like I said, I got saved in prison. After I got out of prison, I told God before I got out, I said, Lord, I'll serve you no matter what. And you know what? He said, okay, let's see. Well, I went through a time of my life back there in 1984, 1985. It was a test, a big test. I never stopped serving God. I didn't want to. I purposed in my heart, and I understood what I read. I understood that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have done the same thing, and Daniel, they all purposed in their hearts, man. I believed that book. When I started reading, I believed it. I believed it so much. I saw so many things. And I believe that Jesus was right there with them in the fire, and he's still there with us in the fire. He just lets us go through a test. And no doubt, tomorrow he might let me go through another one. I might fail him tomorrow. But I might not. But by God's grace, I'm going to get up if I do. And I don't want to. God knows my heart. I don't want to. Yeah, God does know my heart. And don't tell all your heart desperately with me. No, I'm telling you, man. I didn't want to get in. I've been in that debate. I've been in so many debates, man. I give people scriptures. These guys blast me on Facebook. The only time they ever comment to me, I feel like these preachers out here that I know. The only time they, and I don't even care about Facebook, to be honest with you, other than being able to talk to my friends. But you know what? I've had them come against me. It's always negative. They never give you a thumbs up on something that's good. They never give you a thumbs up on scripture. They never give you up, you know, give you thumbs up or say, yeah, man, I agree, amen. But boy, when you put something in there they disagree with, they're going to put you in hell, man. Just like these guys. I know I'm running rabbits, but it's my radio program. I'm going to do and say what I feel like I need to say. I was preached into hell, man, because I voted for Trump. I'm a wicked man. Yeah, I'm a wicked man because I voted for Trump. But you know what I told them? I said, I've done what God told me to do. And that's the truth. And I don't care what they think, but you know what? I did write back to them. I was kind to them. I said, you know what? I appreciate all the kind letters that y'all sent to me. I appreciate y'all saying, Brother Wally, we're praying for you, man. We love you, man. We pray God will help you. Whatever, you know. And I'm like, and I wouldn't be. I guess in a way, I'd be facetious, maybe, or sarcastic, or being truthful. I said, thank you so much for praying for me, and I meant that. As they wasn't praying for me. There are all these Christians, and they say we love God, and these preachers are big bad preachers out there, and look at me, and then you put something out that they don't like, and they attack you. Instead of saying, you know what, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Love you anyways, man. Yeah, I've been down the roads, man. I don't care. I'm not complaining right now, but I just, you know, I'm just sharing my heart. I'm sharing things, man, that's going on. You know what? I've learned this. I'm going to preach what I believe God wants me to preach, and I'm going to preach everything that I believe that God has showed me in this Bible. Okay? And I'm going to give an account to God. That's just like my friend, Pastor Brandon Teague. I like what he told me. You know, he told me just, and when I told him, I said, I'm just going to preach what I feel. He says, you just do what God wants you to do. You just preach it, boy. He's always encouraged me. He's a great man. He is. He's been a blessing in my life. Man, he's been through hell, too. He don't talk about it on here. I mean, he'll share a few things, like me. I'm not whining and complaining. But I tell you what, this man's been through to hell and back, too. But you know what? I'd rather, it's what he said, I would rather go to heaven. And God said, you know, Wally, you preach too much, man. I would rather hear that and say, you know what, Wally, you didn't preach enough. I didn't put this call on my life. I have tried. I'm serious. I'm not complaining. I appreciate y'all. I love my friends. I appreciate Miss Donna. I praise God, man, for the encouragement that I have received. Because, man, I tell you what, I encourage every one of them. I love every one of them. I know what it's like to go through a battle. They know what it feels like. They know what the pain feels like. They don't understand things. They can't understand what's going on. We're not like some of these super spiritual people out there. They got all the answers to nothing, but we got Jesus. Did you catch that? We got Jesus, honey. We got Jesus. And that's all that matters. And he's got us. Hallelujah. He's got me to the end. And one day, I wish God would let me be one of the last day prophets. It won't be, but I sure want to be. Anyways, this is just a test. For the next 60 seconds or 60 years, 60 seconds, 60 days, 60 months, whatever, it's just a test in your life. Okay? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet this Savior that everybody that I know is preaching about? Do you understand? Do you think I've ever questioned God? You better have. You ever thought I questioned that? Yeah, you better have. Didn't think I would, but I have. But you know what? Somehow, some way, the Holy Ghost of God comes because he lives in me. And if you're saved, he lives in you, and he comes and he comforts you. Don't you know that's why God said he's going to send a comforter? The things that we don't understand, God's already trying to fix them inside of us. You understand that? God, according to the book of Psalms, God comes to us and speaks to us in the night. I believe he talks to us while we're sleeping. Well, you're nuts. No, I believe the Bible. I believe everything about it. I believe in dancing and praising God. I believe in lifting up my hands. I believe in music. I believe in shouting. I believe the Bible. I'm not afraid of anybody out there, any religion out there. You know why? Because I believe the Bible. I trust the Word of God. Even though I fail, I still trust. I trust it. I trust and believe that one day I'm going to heaven. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. I believe there's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. It's not Buddha or Allah. Allah's not even real, man. He was made up by a pervert named Mohammed. Amen. He was a pervert. Mohammed was a pervert. Buddha's not the way to heaven. Your preacher ain't the way to heaven. Martin Luther King Jr. ain't the way to heaven. Oh, what are you doing bringing him up? Let me tell you why, okay? I told you I'm running rabbits, but I'm telling you about all these things that I've learned all these years. I preached on many streets, man. I'm telling you, I've met a lot of thousands. I have met thousands of people. I have met thousands of good people out there. I met millions of bad, but thousands of good. But this black man, black brother, you call him colored man, he's a black man. He don't have a problem with that. He was a black man. That's what he told me. I'm just a black man. He said, brother, he said, can I get you to change your sign? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you got everything on there but Martin Luther King Jr. See, I got a sign here at my house that I've had for nearly 20 years. I got several of them, 25 years, that I've had. Corrugated plastic lasts forever. But he saw my sign and said, Jesus is the only way to heaven, not Buddha, not Allah, not Muhammad, no, I mean, through no Catholics, not the priest, not Mother Teresa. Anyway, he said, hey, you need to put Martin Luther King Jr. On there. He said, because a lot of my black brothers, my black families, and these black folks believe that Martin Luther King Jr. was the way to heaven. He said, they need to know he's not. And I thought, my God, this is coming from a black man. I said, you know what? I will, my brother. And I did. That night, I fixed the sign. I changed my sign. You hear me? Speaking in tongues ain't going to get you to heaven. Being baptized ain't going to get you to heaven. Nah. Following Mary ain't going to get you to heaven. No. Allah, Buddha, the Pope, none of them, they can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ can get you to heaven. John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can get to God unless they come through Jesus. That's right. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, your works, your money, your honey, whatever, is not going to get you there. You understand me? Because you'd be bragging on, look what I have done. And then the rich would be saying, well, look at all the money I gave to you. I know I get to go, but you know what? Your money ain't worth spit. You understand me? It ain't no good when it comes to salvation. You understand what I'm saying? Your money ain't no good before God. A lot of people have the love of money and go to hell. It was waiting for everybody that rejects Jesus. So let me ask you something. Are you ready to meet God? Do you know Jesus? Does he know you? That's the main question. Anyways, I'm Brother Wally. I usually preach 2 hours, but I feel led tonight. Amen. It's what, been an hour and a half, something like that? No, not even an hour, has it? Sure seems like it. It's been an hour. Yeah, a little over. Anyways, I'm Brother Wally, and remember this. Life's only a test. What are you going to do with it? I hope there's people out there somewhere, somehow, this preaching. I hope it records. I really do. This here's a new thing because I had to go through some new things on Brother Brandon's thing. I hope I hadn't messed his thing up because I don't know how to work some of this stuff on here, but I'm on here. I want to thank Miss Donna for being right there with me tonight, and it's been a blessing, really. I thank God she was there because I didn't know if I was on or not, and I praise God that she was, and she's been there the whole time letting me know what's going on. So I praise her, praise God for that, and I thank her for that. And see, my son used to do that, Noah, when he was here. He'd run on plus two. By next week, I'm going to have my phones hooked up, I hope. And I could preach on here every night, but I tried that. I tried to preach 5 nights a week, and that don't work. It really is hard. I mean, really, it's hard after working all day. I tried it. I preach 7 days a week, matter of fact, many times on Crusade Radio for many, many, many years. And I just had to quit doing that, and I feel like the Lord, now I'm on Thursday night, which was given to me by the Lord, and he has blessed me to be able to let me be back on here. Tonight's been a truly blessing for me. And I needed it. I was walking fear in my heart, though, and I know fear is not of God because of me, you know, and I know the devil, and I know he's a creep. But one day, see, that's why everything's going on like it is today in our country and across the world. The Bible says that the devil knows he has but a short time. That's why he's doing what he's doing. That's why he's lying to our young people. He is. He's lying big time. He's setting them up. He sets them all up. And then one day, they're going to say, what happened? What happened? And there's a bunch of them out. I'm telling you, man, I've met a lot of young people out there on these streets and stuff that really, a bunch of them respect you still. But a lot of them, they would rather drive over you with a car than listen to you. And we've had some try that. I've had some come up here and shove me and push me back, and things like that, you know, and I just talk straight and forward to them. And like I said, there's cops out there that hate your guts, man, for being a preacher or just a Christian. They hate Christians. But you know what I like? The Bible says, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, funny how a lot of these people ain't suffering persecution. It must mean they're not living godly. Huh? Ye, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, we're going to suffer one day. It's coming. We're not going to be raptured out of it. Some will die. Some will go to jail. That means say that. Jesus said some won't see death, but some will. That's what he said, what the Bible teaches. But you know what? I hope and pray. Man, that really stirred me up tonight. God bless me tonight because of John the Baptist and Paul and them. Thinking about old John preaching right there before he died. That's what I was going to try to say, too, that I hope and pray to God that if they come to me, man, and say, we're going to cut your head off, we're going to shoot you, whatever, I pray to God that God will fill me so full of the Holy Spirit of God that I just preach my way into heaven, man. Amen? I really do. But anyways, old Brother Wally, I'm going to play another song as we go off, and then I'll come back, and I'm going to close out. So anyway, we'll be right back.
Was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna. We stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha. That's it.
like that song right there. And, you know, this was really tonight. Really, when I come on here tonight, when I did come up with that title, this is just a test for the next 60 years of your life. It was kind of, it wasn't a joke, but it's like, okay, this is just a test. I'm testing this thing tonight because, honestly, I believe God blessed it and honored it because my cell phone usually starts cutting up bad out here where I live. It's out in the woods, but I know it had to be God, and I'm trusting that God will use it because I'm nothing, okay? But Lord willing, I'm going to try to be back on next Thursday, same time, 7 o'clock, and I'll preach. We were allowed to go sign up for 2 hours, and I have preached every time, other time, for at least 2 hours. But I'll tell you what, I just feel led tonight to do the way I'm doing tonight, and I praise God for it. Amen. And one day maybe we'll go to – I started to do this one time, and I waited for people to come on here, and everybody wanted me to stay on here, and then I get on here, and then nobody else wanted to be listening, and nobody, you know, so – and I didn't go off because of them. I went off because I felt like I needed to, but it's been on my heart for a while now to try to get back on here. And then the other night when I made the statements that I did on Facebook, my friend and really a pastor to me, brother Brandon Teague spoke, and he said, you know, Brother Wallet, Thursday night is still open to you. And that blessed my heart because I wasn't expecting that, and I felt like that's when God spoke to me. And so I hope, Lord willing, by the grace of God, that he'll let me honor him and he honor me and help me through all this. But anyway, Father, I praise you, my God, and I love you. I thank you so much for every blessing you give to me. Lord, I thank you tonight with all my heart for giving me liberty, Lord. And Lord, let me sense your presence here with me tonight, God. And I felt you, God. I know my Baptist buddies don't like to hear that, but I felt your presence here tonight, God, and I'm not going to tiptoe around it. And they don't have to listen. But still, Lord, I love you, and I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, God. I do. I love them. I pray for them. I pray for some of them. They don't even know I'm praying for them, Lord, but I pray for them. I'm not bragging on me. And, Father, I ask you, dear God, that, Lord, this be your will. Lord, if it's what you want me to keep doing, everything will still fall into place, God. Thank you for Miss Donna for being out there, Lord. She didn't have to do that. But Lord, you let her be there tonight, Lord, and it was an encouragement, too. And, too, Lord, it's also, Lord, it was a help tonight. God used her to make sure things were good, and that's why I see God in so much. But, Lord, I glorify you, my Father. I bless you, my God. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Brandon, Lord, for allowing me to be on here tonight. I never dreamed I'd be back on the radio, Lord. And even, you know, my heart, God, I could go into a lot of things, but I'm not. But I just don't feel worthy. But I bless you, my God, and thank you so much, Lord, most of all that I'm saved. And, Lord, if there's anybody out there tonight, God, or whenever, if someone listens to this, Lord, I ain't being ugly to anybody. I want them saved, Lord. Lord, if they're out there tonight and they're saved, God, they're struggling. I know there's some brothers out there. Brother Tommy, I love Brother Tommy, man. I know he don't mind me saying. I'm not talking about him behind his back. He knows me. He's my brother, man. We grew up together in Arkansas. And I love him dearly. I pray for him day in and day out. He prays for me all the time. And, Lord, I pray for my brother Tommy tonight, God, that you bless and strengthen and encourage that man. I pray that you bless his work he's doing, Lord, to make a few dollars, God, to keep his bills paid, God, his furniture that he made. He does some wonderful work, wonderful stuff. I pray that you'll bless him, God. And, Father, we love you, God. Bless Brother Brandon in the church out there and Miss Geraldine out there, God, and for others out there that I know tonight, God, I pray for you, every one of them, Lord. I pray for my family. I do pray for my family tonight, God. I pray for all the preachers across this world that are preaching the true word of God. Lord, that you bless, strengthen, and encourage each and every one of them. And, Lord, I pray that you bless every saint of God. That's always been Brother Wally's prayer, Lord. God, that you bless the saints.
and strengthen and encourage every one of them, Lord. I pray that you strengthen and encourage me, Lord, help me. Lord, I love you, God. Help us to be a light and a testimony, God. Help us to speak to somebody about Jesus the rest of this week. And Lord, help us, God, not to get caught in sin. Lord, help us, dear God, to keep our eyes on Jesus. But Lord, empower our lives, God, so if we do mess up, God, I pray that the devil don't have power on us and beat us down and beat us down. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we can just come up and go on and keep on for you, Lord. Father, I love you now. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness, God. Lord, I glorify you, my Father. I bless your holy name, God. I pray for my son, Robbie, my daughter, Courtney, and my son, Noah. Father God, bless them and help them, strengthen, help them, open their eyes. We thank you for that, God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that your will be done now, Lord, in every saint of God's life tonight. Bless those, Lord, that are struggling, God, family problems, Lord, divorces, whatever it might be, in the saints of God's life, Lord, death, whatever it might be, God. There's a lot of divorce going on, God. People, wives walking home saying, I'm done. Husbands coming home saying, I'm done with you, and walking out, Lord. They don't think. It's not the wife or the husband they tear up. It's the kids. The kids got to go through hell. It's not them. The parents don't got to go through it, man. It's the kids, the children. And people need to start thinking about their children. But anyways, Lord, I preach on that too. So, Lord, I love you, God, and I praise you, my Father, for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lord willing, I'll be back next Thursday. And may God bless every saint of God. That's Brother Wally's prayer.